Okay, so Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, the final Perek of Shmuel Aleph. Now we go back to our previous story. Right, we took a detour to talk about, went on a tangent to talk about David with the Plishtim, with Amalek, etc. Now we're going back to our previous story, if you remember, where the Plishtim were attacking Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael were going out to fight against the Plishtim. Pasuk Aleph, Uplishtim nilchamim biYisrael. So now that we go back, the Plishtim are fighting against Klal Yisrael. And now Bnei Yisrael are no match. They're no match for the Plishtim. And they didn't even fight, says the Malbim. They ran. They just fled. Bnei Yisrael decided, you know, we're no match for the Plishtim. And they ran. They fled. And once you flee, once you start running, so then you know you're not going to have much of a chance. And the Plishtim ended up killing many of Bnei Yisrael in Har HaGilboa.
How long after?
Sounds like this was right after. Yeah. Pasuk Beis. Vayadbiku Plishtim es Shaul ve'es Banav. So the Plishtim, literally Vayadbiku, means they clung to. So the Malbim says it's because Shaul and his sons were fought valiantly. They fought courageously. So it wasn't easy for the Plishtim. But the Plishtim finally were defeating Shaul and his sons. Obviously, they were the ones who were leading the Jewish camp, the Jewish soldiers. Vayaku Plishtim es Yehonasan ves Avinadav ves Malki Shua b'nei Yishaul. And these three sons of Shaul, Yehonasan, the famous Yehonasan, who was very friendly with David, Avinadav, and Malki Shua, they were all killed by the Plishtim. The Radak points out there's another son by the name of Ishbosheth that's not mentioned here. And that's because he wasn't a fighter. Maybe he was in intelligence. Maybe he stayed home and ran the palace, whatever he did. But he wasn't a soldier. And he did not go out to battle with his father. And that's why he survived. But the other three sons who went out to battle with Shaul, they were all killed. Now, Shaul's not killed yet, but his three sons are. Pasuk Gimel. Vatichbad hamilchama el Shaul. So now the war, the battle intensifies around Shaul. He's the only one left. And everybody's trying to find him. So the archers, you know, the sharpshooters, the snipers, they finally find where Shaul is hiding. And he hasn't been captured yet, but he's petrified. Shaul is very afraid. He's very scared. They find out where his hiding place is, and they're about to kill him. Pasuk Dalid, Vayomer Shaul Enosei Chelov. Shaul now turns to his armsman, to the young man who was carrying his arms. Shalov Charbecha V'Dokreiniba. He says, take out your sword and kill me. Right? Stab me with your sword. Pen Yavo'u Ha'areilim Ha'ele U'Dekaruni V'Hisaluvi. He says, lest they come, these Areilim, the uncircumcised, the Plishtim, they're going to come and they're going to kill me. The Yis'aluvi. Okay, now what does that mean exactly? So we'll see in a second. Velo avano se chelov. The kid did not want to do that, right? Imagine you're the king's servant. You carry his arms, and he tells you to kill him. He had no interest in killing him. Ki yare ma'od. He himself was scared. He was scared to do it. Vayikach Shaul es hacherev vayipol aleha. And Shaul takes the sword. And he jumps on it and he kills himself. He kills himself. What was his argument here? Kill me, otherwise they're going to kill me. Udikaruni vihis aluvi. So different interpretations in the Mefarshim here. The Radak says they're going to kill me in a very disgraceful manner. You know, they're gonna chop my body up into little pieces because I'm the king. So better you should kill me. And that's it. I'll just die in a more respectful manner than the way that they're going to kill me. The Mitzudas David says that he doesn't mean they're going to kill me in a disgraceful manner. He says it means they're going to torture me. They're going to keep me alive and they're going to torture me, cut off, you know, one limb at a time and torture me to death. And that's going to be much worse. Obviously, this young man was afraid to kill the Mashiach Hashem, the one who had been anointed by Hashem as the king. And therefore, Shaul, you know, falls on this sword and kills himself. Now, the Mefarshim point out here that if you look in Shmuel Beis at the description of Shaul's death, which Mirtz Hashem will get to, so it's clear that he actually did not die right away. He fell on the sword, and he was mortally wounded, and he was dying, but he did not die right away. And in fact, there was a Nar Amaleki who came along, who actually finished off the job, and who ended up killing Shaul for good, which we learn about more in Shmuel Beis. Now, how was he allowed to do this? Right? How was Shaul allowed to take his own life? We know the Torah says you're not allowed to take your own life. Suicide is usher. Okay, so the Mepharshim don't assume he was wounded. He was hiding. They were looking for him, and it says that they found him. That he was wounded? What does it say there?
It says here, and he was severely wounded by the army.
Ah, interesting. So the Sepharia translate that, the Sepharia? That he was severely wounded. The Mepharshim that I saw translated Vayochel Ma'od Mehamorim that he was very afraid. Not that he was wounded. So that's interesting. I'm not sure.
When I heard you say that, I read it.
Right.
Maybe that's why he's afraid.
All right. So Joe's saying that if he was mortally wounded, so he felt like he's going to die anyway of his wounds, so here he's not killing himself, he's just hastening his death. Okay. Not allowed to do that either. Not allowed to do that either. Right. So the Radak in the next pasuk, yeah.
The Boa says that he was going to be forced to serve idolatry. And in that case, you're allowed to do suicide.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
He was afraid that they would make him serve other gods.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. Mayam Lo is very interesting. Very interesting. The Radak has a different approach. And the Radak says that that he knew he was going to die. Okay, this is still a Chiddush, but he said he knew he was going to die. Number one, Shmuel, if you remember, prophesied already that he was going to die in battle. So Shaul realizes to himself, this is probably the battle that Shmuel was referring to, right? Because look, my sons are killed. I'm the only one left. They know where I am. They're coming to get me, right? So Shmuel knows essentially that he's going to die, that he didn't stand a chance. That's number one. And number two, the Radak says that even forgetting about the Nevuah for a minute, he sees that they found him. They found his hiding spot. It's only a matter of minutes before they come and they kill me. So under those circumstances, says the Radak, Shaul was permitted to take his own life, either because of the Nevuah that he knew that was going to happen, he was going to die anyway in battle, or even forgetting about the Nevuah, he just realized that according to the laws of nature, they found me, they're going to kill me any minute. So what's the difference if I kill myself? So according to that, it still sounds like a chiddush, but that's what the Radak says, that he was permitted to take his life under those circumstances. Okay, now, Pasuk Hey, Vayar no se chelov kimei shol, vayipol gam hu al charbo vayomos imo. So now the no se kelim, right, the one who's carrying his bearer of arms, he sees, oy vey, Shaul just killed himself. I'm not sticking around here. So he does the same thing, right? And he kills himself. Also, because he doesn't want to stick around without Shaul and just have the enemies do what they please. Pasuk Vav Vayomas Shaul Shloshes Banav Venosei Chelov Gam Kol Anosha Vayomahu Yachdov. On that day, says the pasuk, they all died. Shaul died. His three sons died. Obviously, their bearers of arms died, and all of the men that were loyal to him, all of his servants, and all of the men that were near him died as well. Some men did escape. But says the Radak, all the ones that were in close proximity to them were all killed. Pasuk Zayin, Vayiru anshe Yisrael asher be'ever ha'emek, asher be'ever ha'yardein, ki nosu anshe Yisrael. So the people now that are in Ever ha'emek, they're the ones that are near the battlefront, and Ever ha'yardein, they see that the Jewish army is running, right? They see the Jewish army running, fleeing from the Plishtim. V'chimesu Shaul u'banav, they hear the terrible news that Shaul and his sons were killed. So now imagine this, right? You hear that the king, the Jewish king and his sons were all killed. The Jewish army is retreating. So now they're all petrified. Vayazvu es ha'arim. So they leave their cities. They run. They take their possessions and they run. Vayanusu vayavo plishtim vayeshvu bahen. And the plishtim come and they capture the cities. And they take over these cities. The Mepharshim point out that these cities were along the borders of where the fighting was taking place. And they knew, we're out of here. Right, we're not going to stick around. The Radak says also the cities were not fortified. These were not fortified cities that they could protect themselves. So they just ran away. Says the Malbim, if you look at the Pasuk, there were two concerns here. Number one, Ki nosu anshe Yisrael. They had no hope in the Jewish army because the Jewish army was retreating. And number two, Ki meisu shol ubanav. There's no one to lead the army. You can't even regroup. Sometimes you can retreat and you can regroup and then launch a second attack. They couldn't even do that because all the generals had been killed. All the leaders had been killed. Pasuk Ches. So the next day, after the battle's over, the plishtim come. They come to take all of the to take all the good things from all of the corpses. And they find Shaul and his three sons. They find their bodies lying there. So what do they do? Obviously, they're not going to treat him with much respect. So they chop off Shaul's head. By Afshitu as Kalev, they take off his clothing, his weapons. The Mefarshim say that we learn in Shmuel Beis that this Amaleki who killed Shaul actually took, he already took the crown and he took all the jewelry, the stuff that was worth a lot. Excuse me. So this is just whatever was left, whatever clothing was left, whatever weapons were left, they take from Shaul. Vayishalchu be'eretz plishtim, soviv, and they send Shaul's body, his head, and all of his kalim, and his lifeless body now, they send it all around on tour, all around the land of the plishtim, levaser beis atzabehem ve'es ha'am. Number one, to notify the people what they accomplished. Look what we did to the Jewish king. And number two, also levaser beis atzabehem refers to their avodah zarah, to thank their avodah zarah. Obviously, they attributed their victory to their avodah zarah. So they wanted to thank their avodah zarah. Very similar, exactly. And the Mefarshim point out, let's read the next pasuk. They continue disgracing Shaul and his body. Vayasimu es kelav beis ashtaros ve'eskeviyaso toku b'chomas beis shon. So they place his kelim, all of his clothing and weapons, in the house of Ashtaros. Ashtaros was one of their avodah zarahs. That's Giviyaso Taku, and they nailed up his body, the Chomas Beis Shon, onto the wall of the city called Beis Shon. Right, talk about disgrace. You know, they just nail up his headless body, and the rest of his kalim they took to the house of the avodah zarah. It's not mentioned here, but the Radak points out in Divrei Hayomim, it says that they took his head and they hung it up in the house of Dagon, who was another Avodah Zarah. So the head is in the house of one Avodah Zarah. All of his kelim are in the house of another Avodah Zarah. And his body, they nail onto the wall of the city. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishmu elav Yoshve Yavesh Gilad, Eis asher osu plishtim l'shol. So the people of Yavesh Gilad, the Jews, hear what was done to Shaul's body, and it's a disgrace. Chilul Hashem. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayakumu kol ishchayil. So they get together a little army. And they go in the middle of the night and they take down their bodies. They're not going to fight the Plishtim. They don't stand a chance against the Plishti army. But they go in the middle of the night and they just go to take down the bodies of Shaul and his sons from the wall of this place called Beishan. They come back to Yavesh, Gilad. And the Pasuk says they burn them there, which sounds like they cremated their bodies, which is strange. But in the next pasuk, we read that they took their bones and they bury them under the tree. There was an oak tree, the Radak says, in Yavesh Gilad. And they fast for 7 days because of the terrible tragedy that had just happened. So there are different interpretations in the Mefarshim here, what exactly they did. Because if you're talking about cremation, how could they have cremated the bodies, right? We don't believe in cremating bodies. We believe in Kavuras Yisrael, bury the bodies in the earth. So some say it doesn't mean they cremated. Sreifa here doesn't mean to burn, but it means they embalmed them. They use very strong spices. That's the Sreifa, the strong spices they use to preserve the body and to embalm him and his sons. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that they didn't burn the bodies. They burned all of the kalim, all of the clothing and the weapons and the utensils that were used by the king. And this is something that was done, according to Chazal, to the kings of the time, to kind of retire their belongings so no one else would use them. So after they died, they would burn all of the king's belongings because no one else was fit to use these belongings. So some say that's what they did. The Radak has an interpretation where he says, no, they really burned the bodies, but they only burned the flesh and not the bones. Now, why did they burn the flesh? So he says, perhaps because maybe the bodies began to decompose and were already full of worms. And to bury a body already full of worms was a disgrace. That's a disgrace to the body, to bury the body full of worms. So they just buried the bones and they burned the flesh off where the worms were. They burned the flesh off. And according to the Radak, that's why they did it in that way. But just to stam, you know, cremate or to burn, chas v'shalom, that's not what's done with a Jewish body.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Is the way Shaul died part of Hashem's punishment because he disobeyed Hashem?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We find he's got two punishments here. On the one hand, he loses his melucha. No, he loses the kingdom. On the other hand, he's killed in a very violent and grotesque way. So 100%, it's included in this. But keep in mind, you know, this is what we said, towards the beginning of this Sefer, but it's important to reiterate here that Shaul is not remembered as a Rasha. He's remembered as a Tzaddik, right? He was a righteous person. In fact, Chazal, the Medrash, they calls him a Tzaddik, that even in his death, he was a Tzaddik. He was a righteous person. And he made some mistakes, and for those mistakes he was punished. But at the end of the day, he's not considered a Rasha. He's considered a righteous person. And we're going to see in Shmuel Beis that David actually eulogizes him in a very positive way and in a positive light. Okay, Hadron Alach Shmuel Aleph. We just finished.